Welcome, listeners, to another episode of No Limit Football Podcast. Doc here as your host today, and I'm joined by Sunnerstat. Sunnerstat, what's going on?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, everything's all fine. You know that. In this episode, listeners, we're going to be discussing this or that. So I'm going to be giving Sunnerstat a choice of two choices or two players, and he is going to give me his opinion of who's better. Some classic players and some that are currently playing as well. But before we do start off, listeners, I want just to plug in a couple of calls to action for you. Number one, our usual host, Abu Samra. Please do check out his YouTube channel. It's called Abu Samra, the expat. Fantastic content on YouTube related to his travels in the region, in Saudi Arabia, and some of his previous content in Egypt as well. Fantastic channel, really informative, and please do check that out. And for me, listeners, as well, as a personal request, the crypto bull market is coming up, alt season is coming up, a lot of rags to riches stories, could be riches to rag stories as well if you're not careful. So do check out my podcast as well, at Crypto Unplugged, and thanks for that. Now, I'm going to give you a few questions, Sunnerstat, yeah? Are you ready?
Yeah, man. I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you, okay, and you're going to have to just give me your opinion, okay, of who you think is better. Okay, and if you want to give me, if you want to ask me my opinion, then I can just give my 10 cents worth. But the first question is, okay, as a striker, Samuel Eto'o or Karim Benzema?
Ooh, you're going to do me like that, yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Challenge, bro.
You know what?
It's a tough one, isn't it?
It's a tough one, man. You're talking about two elite players.
You know what it is? Oh, I've got... I don't know, actually. You know, like, my subconscious is going one way, but then it's just, like, confused as well.
Look, yes, I mean...
it's going that way as well.
Look.
Go on.
Oh, man. I mean, that is difficult, man. I mean, we're talking about both of them are retired now. Not retired, obviously. Benzema still plays at... Plays in Etihad in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. But oh my goodness me. I mean, it's not clear cut.
Not clear cut. It's very subjective.
You know, in the previous episode, we were talking about championship manager potentials.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eto'o at Real Mallorca was a big game player.
Yeah.
You know, and then he went on to Barcelona where he scored 144 appearances.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. Yeah, I believe Eto'o was a big star when Messi and Ronaldinho were with him.
Yeah,
was still a big star, big presence, big personality, a big game player. Scored in two Champions League final. Scored against Arsenal and he scored against Manchester United. Yeah, so he does turn up.
He does shine.
Now, if you look at Benzema's
early career,
when he was with Cristiano, he compromised a lot.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he didn't shine when Ronaldo. He was a very good player. He started his career at Real Madrid. Actually, started the very slow. They used to call him the new Nicolas Anelka at the beginning. They tried to mock him, but really, but he compromised his game. Just like the way Rooney compromised his game for Cristiano Ronaldo, Benzema did the same thing.
Yeah.
It's when Cristiano Ronaldo left. That's when Benzema became elite. And he won the Ballon d'Or. But
deservedly so.
I'm going to go for Eto'o, man. Eto'o at Barcelona, at Inter Milan. Ooh. His movement.
You know what it is? Yeah.
It's difficult.
It's difficult.
It's by a margin. But if you ask me this in 2013...
Yeah,
then you would have gone 2013. I would have gone Eto'o straight away.
Straight away. Me too, because the thing is, look, you know, I have very fond memories of Samuel Eto'o. He was one of my favorite players, particularly in that Barca team. And with regards to Karim Benzema, his career did start off slowly. Obviously, his international career, you know, there were some issues as well. But really, you couldn't deny, you know, his impact on that Real Madrid side. And I have, you know, I'm on the back end of this because, you know, two Champions League finals against Liverpool as well. And, you know, he just came in the twilight of his career and managed to achieve it all, okay, and became a global phenomenon. I mean, how old is he at the moment, Karim Benzema?
He's about 34, 35.
Yeah. I think yeah. In his 30s, he just, when Cristiano left, of course, then he became, he achieved everything. But me personally as well, your opinion, you would choose Samuel Eto'o. It's a very difficult one. And, you know, don't shoot the messenger, listeners. But I would possibly choose Samuel Eto'o as well. And it can go either way. That's my opinion.
Yeah, it could go either way. It's just marginal. Let me tell you something. If Eto'o was Brazilian, he would have won a Ballon d'Or.
He would have.
There's a season where he should have won a Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
Facts. He did his thing. I mean, was a top player. I mean, 2005-06 season. Exactly. 2005-06, he scored 34 goals in 47 games.
Yeah. That's phenomenal. Pre-Ronaldo and Messi era.
Yeah.
You know? Before the stats went crazy.
Yeah, before the stats went crazy. I mean, for me, Eto'o.
Yeah.
I would have to agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Benzema, Benzema aged as a, he aged well.
Matured, yeah.
He got better with age. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, next question now, and this is one from the current contemporary players that we see who are coming up to their peak. They're very young. They're actually not at the peak at the moment, but you can see that they're global. They're going to be global stars, okay, if not already. Yeah. Bukayo Saka and versus Phil Foden. That's a tough one as well. And you may upset a lot of people, if your choice is, goes one way. So give me your opinion.
Foden is a generational player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Foden is a generational player. The way he's not English, the way he plays football. Technically, it's just...
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not English the way he plays football. You know, before, like someone would tell me an English player, I'm like, yeah, he's overhyped. You know, he might be a great player, very, very good player. But when you compare him to world football, he's not up there with the best.
Technically. Yeah.
But I've seen Foden do something that Saka can't do.
Yeah.
It was a community shield this year against Arsenal.
Yeah.
Cole Palmer was still playing for Man City just before he's moved to Chelsea. And he was in the center of the pitch. He got the ball from the holding midfield position where Rodri normally be. And two Arsenal players tried to pressure him. And he just went past them. He dribbled past them. He went out past them. And only the elite players could do that. And then he passed it to Cole Palmer and Cole Palmer scored. Yeah. And it was in a sensitive position, by the way. It was in his, he took it from the defense, basically. He took it from his side of the area, where his own half, basically. From his own half, to do that is very difficult. Some great players can't do that, what he did.
Mm.
So, two players pressured you, and then you dribbled past them. You went out past them. And Foden, man, oh my goodness. Stats might not be up there with Saka.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, man, for me, it's Foden. Foden, 100%. I mean, I've seen him do some, I've seen him twist and turn against PSG. The team that they had, I think Thiago Silva was there at that time, and he just twisted and turned and, you know, found space. And let me tell you something, he scored a hat-trick against Manchester United, against De Gea, one of the greatest goalkeepers in the Premier League era for the last, 10 years. And he scores top corner goals, like he's a Spanish player.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a foot. You know, his left foot reminds me of those Eastern European players like the Georgia Hadjis, the Prozorenskis, the Bobans, Stoichkov.
Yeah, Stoichkov.
Yeah. His shooting abilities, class, his finishing is good, and he can do something out of nothing. Saka's getting there. Saka will get there. Yeah, he's getting there. He's getting better. But he will be world-class. Don't get me wrong. Saka will be world-class in a few years' time. Mm. But for me now, in terms of potential, in terms of who has the better ability, is Foden. And let me tell you something. If Saka, for example, leaves Arsenal, goes to a bigger team, no problem, and they replace him with Foden, that's a very good replacement. That would be a very good replacement because Foden will fit in Arteta's tactics team.
Yeah, I mean, looking at technically gifted, English players. Okay, mm-hmm. I always have a benchmark in my mind when it comes to mm-hmm. technically gifted. You know, like South Americans or Southern Europeans. It would be possibly the greatest technically gifted player that I remember. You know, of the last few generations for me is Paul mm-hmm. Gascoigne. Yes. And, you know, I've never seen a British player like him. Now, Phil Foden, when he first came on, it's like, for example, Mason Greenwood as well. When he first came on the scene, unfortunately, yes. he's playing in Spain at the moment, you know, due to issues, legal issues and stuff like that. But I always said that, you know, as a side point, that Mason Greenwood's finishing was probably had the potential to be as good as Robbie Fowler. Yeah. You know, his finishing was absolutely. Yeah,
I'll say more Van Persie.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But as technically gifted players, Foden, you know, from a very early age, you can see that, you know, the potential in Phil Foden. Phil Foden also has been coached by, you know, Pep Guardiola, you know, crazy tactics and, you know, being groomed as well. And he's broken into that team of global stars. Whereas Bukayo Saka, mentally, he's gone through a lot at a very young age. Okay, taken a lot of responsibility for a young Arsenal team, and the Arsenal team now. Okay, and I have to admit, at the beginning of the season, talking about predictions and things like this, and I have to take my words back when I'd mentioned that Arsenal, you know, and I hope Farrah's listened to this as well. I do take my words back. Arsenal winning, potentially winning the Champions League. And I mentioned this in a previous podcast. I said it was outlandish. I don't believe it's outlandish. I believe that they do have the ability to win the Champions League this season. Okay. Whether they win it or not, that's a different matter. But with a bit of luck, draws go your way, performance on the day, Arsenal could actually win the Champions League this season. But Bukayo Saka took on a huge responsibility in a young Arsenal team.
He did.
And at that time, you know, it was a transition team as well. With a lot of previous manager, who was it again? Previous manager before Arteta.
Unai Emery.
Yeah, Unai Emery. And, you know, of course, with the Euro as well, you know, there's a lot of backlash as well. He came back strong. You know, he's actually scoring more goals as well.
Yes.
You know, so the responsibility and the leadership of Saka at a very young age really can't be put into doubt. Okay.
Yeah. No doubt. Really no doubt. Well. I'm just talking about the ability. It's like, do you know the eye?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's the eye. When you see Foden play, it's like, wow! Did you just do that? You know. And I don't remember. I don't. It takes me a long time to rate an English player who's technically gifted.
Yeah.
I mean, he did things out of this world. Like I said, from his halfway line, from his half.
Yeah.
Two players tried to pressure him and he just went past them and he opened up space for Cole Palmer to score.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, you don't see this, you know, except from elite.
Yeah, I mean it's easy to say, for example, okay, yeah, but Saka scored 8 goals in 12 games. Foden did it. But what Foden does in the game is
different.
It's obviously he shares his responsibility with other great players. He plays with great players. Mm. But sometimes, you know, like with Saka, obviously, he's the main player. He's a star boy at Arsenal. Things go through him, Arsenal. Obviously, if he was with Man City, he can play for Man City. No doubt about it. And he probably would have improved even more. Yeah, but he would have shared responsibility. He would have shared his responsibilities.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so next one now. Okay, these, interestingly enough, I'm going to give you a choice. And they're both played at the same team for many, many years, okay? But they just played on different sides, okay? Now, Frank Ribery or Arjen Robben?
These are tough questions, Doc, man.
They are tough questions, yeah.
You know what? I think this one I can say with confidence. I'm going to say Rubri. I think Rubri had more. Yeah, I say Rubri had more to his game than Robin.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. You know that. You know, I can see where you're coming from because Robin, he was just phenomenally good at the thing he did.
He was a greedy as well.
He was actually exactly. Greedy. Yeah, he was very,
very, very greedy,
and he's very frustrating. You know, you can imagine he, if you're in.
That's why I chose. That's why I chose Rubri.
Yeah,
that's why.
It's actually, you know, coming to think about it, I would probably go with you as well, Franck Ribéry, because more of a team player. I'm not going to say Iron Robin's a one trick pony. You can't say that, yeah. But the point is that it works. Well, it does well. Okay, but I would also choose Franck Ribéry as well.
And I remember they got against Manchester United where they did the from the corner, and I think Robin volleyed it in. That was class. Mm. That was absolutely. That was a very good goal. But the their combination, they used to call them. What was it? They used to call them.
The wing twins Okay, so this one is actually probably the toughest question of them all, yeah? It's probably even tougher than Eto'o versus Benzema.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, yeah. Classic. When I think of these, it's just in my spine tingles, okay? That's how, you know, highly, you know, what memories I have of these two players.
Okay.
Alessandro Nesta versus Fabio Cannavaro.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Crypto Unplugged.
Hey, listeners, I'm Dr. Crypto, also known as Doc, the host of the Crypto Unplugged podcast. Crypto Unplugged is a weekly podcast where me and my co-host Oz give our opinions on the crypto space. We've been involved in crypto for many years, so we have a wealth of knowledge and expertise to share with new and seasoned folks. Our podcast is unplugged, meaning that we're honest and revealing about our personal highs and lows of our crypto journey. We've also interviewed a range of special guests from up-and-coming projects to experienced crypto personalities, and our goal is to bring the most up-to-date and relevant information to our community of listeners. So if you're interested in learning more about crypto, or if you just want to hear about two guys talk about their love of crypto and their views, then be sure to check out Crypto Unplugged. We're available on all major podcast platforms.
Crypto Unplugged.
Oh, what a partnership them two had, huh?
Yeah.
What a partnership them two had.
You know what it is? We, just before you do go and answer this question, we really need to do a podcast episode on the top Italian defenders, because you have Nesta, you have Cannavaro, you have Costa Curta, you have Maldini, Baresi, Bergami. The list can go on and on, you know. But talking about the recent modern era, these two as a partnership won a World Cup, okay, won countless accolades between them as well, okay.
Yes.
Legends for their own respective clubs, okay. It's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for. This is difficult.
I've got an answer for mine. Go on, tell me yours.
I'm gonna go for Nesta.
You know what it is? So see, you're a man of taste, son of Star. Because the common person. I'm not saying common person in a derogatory sense, but I believe the common choice would be Cannavaro, just on the back end of winning, you know, Ballon d'Or winner in 2006, and also the World Cup winner as well, okay? But for me, I would go for Alessandro Nesta as well, okay? Yeah, in that Milan team, Alessandro Nesta.
Cafu, with Yap, Maldini. Stam, Cafu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, think about Alessandro Nesta. I mean, he just, visually and optically, he looks so slick, yeah? They both did, you know? They're just pure 100% suave Italian defenders. Yes. Yeah? But the thing about Nesta as well, he was powerful. He was very sneaky. Yeah. Okay. And you know, extremely light-footed as well, yes. You know, in terms of his tackles, good headering as well, leadership qualities as well. And I just would go with Alessandro Nesta.
Yeah, Nesta for me all day.
I mean, all day, yeah?
Very tough. Yeah, very tough. But Nesta, I mean, he was a Rolls Royce of a defender.
He was a Rolls Royce. Yeah.
You know, he's just cool, calm, collective. Cannavaro is more passionate.
Yeah.
Tackling, headering, fighting. Both great defenders. I mean, there's no right answer.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone chooses Cannavaro, that's fine. But for me, I just, again, it's to do with the eye.
Yeah.
Nesta.
Yeah, same.
Okay. One more as well. He's won the Champions League. He's won a lot of trophies as well. His club career trophies is more than Cannavaro's.
Yeah. Okay, now the last one before we do close off, and this one is quite obvious for me, okay? But maybe for you, it's going to be a bit more difficult. Okay. Edwin van der Sar versus Gigi Buffon.
Yeah, just before I give you my answer, I can't believe that van der Sar played for Fulham for 5 years, man. No top club came for him.
Do you know the crazy thing is, I remember when he's at Fulham, okay, and I was thinking, why Liverpool are you not buying van der Sar?
I'm not getting him.
It was insane. He was a top player for Fulham. And he was actually the national keeper for Holland at that time.
Holland.
Okay.
And still was. When he was at Fulham. Yeah.
I mean, he came into Manchester United 2003, was it?
No, he came to Manchester United in 2005, 2006 season.
The crazy thing, and he actually played in the World Cup, okay, in 1998, okay, right?
And this when is he got hit by Ortega.
Yeah, there you go. There with memories, isn't it? But he was at the top of his game at that time, and five seasons under Mohamed Fayed's, patronage at Fulham. That Fulham team, they also had some, just as a side point, they had some good players as well. Craven Cottage, he was like bouncing those days.
He's supposed to expand Craven Cottage, I remember, and they were looking to qualify for the Champions League. He did invest. Mohamed Al Fayed.
Yeah, he did invest. He did. So go on and tell me.
Oof. When Buffon came to Juventus, they moved on van der Sar.
Yeah.
You know? Probably go. This one is a difficult one again, man. I mean, oh my God, man. Why are you doing this to me, Moy? Why are you doing this to me, Doc?
Yeah.
Doc. Okay. Van der Sar won 2 Champions Leagues, by the way. Just.
Okay. Fair enough. But did he win a World Cup?
No, he didn't win the World Cup, but I think okay, in terms of league titles, probably Buffon.
Yeah. But your personal opinion?
I'm going to go Buffon.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Actually, you know what? It was a difficult one. I can see for your personal, biases coming up there, but then at the last moment, you're just looking at the overall career.
No, look, I've always liked van der Sar. I've always rated van der Sar.
Me too.
I did not understand why he was at Fulham.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give you an example now. At that time, Arsenal needed a goalkeeper. Out of all the teams, out of all the top 4 teams, Arsenal were in need of a goalkeeper.
Yeah, they had David Seaman.
Lehmann, but before Lehmann, it was David Seaman. David Seaman was a great goalkeeper. He was a very good goalkeeper. However, when he left Arsenal didn't replace him. I think for about 15 years, they haven't replaced him. I don't know if they still have a goalkeeper that they've replaced.
It's very different.
Not like Seaman.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have went on and got van der Sar.
Yeah, big gloves to fill. They could have.
Big gloves. And, he's a world-class goalkeeper. He's a very good commander of his box.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because you guys also, when you signed him, you guys had problems with your goalkeepers, or Massimo Taibbi. Yeah. You had a few goalkeepers. You had Barthez as well at that time. And
Barthez was a decent replacement
goalkeeper.
Yeah. Then we had Tim Howard after him. I don't know. He came from America. Yeah. I don't know how. He was in Metro Stars. So he was in MLS playing at that time.
But after, at one time there was who was the other player as well?
Roy Carroll.
Van der, who's it again? Another Dutch keeper you had?
Van der Goor, something like that.
Something like that.
You know, he hardly played.
Yeah, he hardly played.
Yeah, Taibbi, he conceded the hat-trick and then silly goals. Taibbi. I think he only played one game or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Buffon, look, the guy came on, like I said before in previous episodes, he played in a World Cup qualifier, 1998 World Cup qualifier against Russia, and he performed. You know, very good goalkeeper, good player. And in terms of longevity, Buffon, he's been playing in the top for a long, long time, until the age of 45. He recently retired about two years ago, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. I believe that Gigi Buffon is probably the greatest goalkeeper of the last generation. I believe that.
Yes.
In my opinion, I don't think there's a better goalkeeper than Gigi Buffon in that last generation. I know,
100%.
There's a lot of competitors. But in terms of longevity, you know, titles, leadership, ability, going through many, many different clubs as well, you know, in the beginning, I just believe Buffon was just, and he, of course, he went on to become a legend for his club as well. Yeah, but interesting this or that episode, Sanastat. But this is something that I think we opened up an interesting discussion and some ideas popping into my head while you're talking about this, that, you know, it would be interesting to talk about retro goalkeepers, select five or six of them, talk about selecting the best one between us, defenders as well, wingers. And this is something that hopefully listeners that we can be giving you in a series of future episodes sometime in the near future as well. Anything else you need to mention to our listeners, Sanastat, before we close off?
No, that's it, man. Glad to be here. Yeah. Glad to do another
episode. Thank you very much. Yeah, pleasure's all ours as always.
Yes.
And listeners, thank you for joining us, and see you guys in the next episode.
Okay, see you guys soon.